Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you very, very much, very much for taking the time to listen today. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. It's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Well, everybody, I hope you had a swell weekend here. And we are back in action Monday morning. I think we finally have some temps. They're going to hit the 70s today. I went out this morning to do some refresh of my swarm traps and my pill bottles with the swarm commander. There was an incident. I was in the house walking towards the door. I'm shaking the swarm commander to kind of mix everything up and make sure that anything that had settled to the bottom was fully mixed in with everything else. And I threw it on the floor and I cracked the top of it. Now, the good news, it is not actively leaking, but the top doesn't screw back on quite right anymore. So I was able to get everything rebaited with the swarm commander. I'll just have to get a new container. I've got it in a little measuring cup now, so it won't leak anywhere and it's out of the way, but the swarm traps are all ready to go. So hopefully in the next couple days here, we'll have something exciting to report with that. Now, today's warm-up songs, there's two of them today. We have Money, brought to you by Pink Floyd from Dark Side of the Moon, 1973, which was quite an amazing year. And because I realized just how little of that song that I remember, I had to go ahead and nail it with Led Zeppelin's Heartbreaker from Led Zeppelin II, 1969. So I think we're fully warmed up, ready to go. If you didn't catch out episode 142, please go back and take a listen to that. It's just a general discussion around swarm prevention. And today with 143, we're talking about the Damari, I think it's Damari method of splitting. That's how they always refer to it, the Damari splitting method. It is not actually a splitting method. We're going to get into that in the details here in a few minutes. Now, this is a method that I don't use. I've asked a couple of bee buddies of mine. I'm like, hey, you guys ever tried the Damari method? And they're like, nope, never done it. But there are some out there who are staunch advocates and supporters of this approach to swarm management. So I figured, why not just take a few minutes? We'll talk about it. I'll share the information with you. I'll give you everything that I've got on it. It's something that you can add to your toolbox, and I would call it the Damari method of swarm control, not splitting. Like I said, it's often referred to as a split, but technically it's not. If you start with one queen and you end with one queen, it's not a split. It's a hive, like it's a reorg. So let's go into a little bit about what it is kind of technically. So the method is made by George Damari, 1892. And essentially what you're doing is you're sort of creating a synthetic swarm. You're moving some resources around from one area to another, adding a couple of components. And the whole idea there is kind of making them feel like they now have more space available. And it kind of curbs that desire and that, you know, innate drive to swarm. So let's walk through how we do this. So the first thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to locate your queen. So for the sake of just kind of level setting things and getting everybody to a place where we can all have sort of a baseline here, let's just assume that we have a double deep Langstroth 10-frame setup. So you have a bottom board. You've got a deep hive body full of frames. You've got another deep on top of that full of frames. All of your comb is drawn out. It's kind of important for that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you do want to be using drawn comb for this. Now, once you've located your queen in this setup, let me complete the setup. On top, you would have inner cover, outer cover. Regardless of the outer cover, telescoping, migratory, doesn't matter. Solid inner cover, cloth inner cover, again, not going to matter. So that's your full setup. So you find your queen. What you're going to do is you're going to take that queen, and you are going to move her to the very bottom box. The only thing that's going to be with her in that bottom box is going to be drawn comb that has nothing else in it and or open brood. So any brood that has eggs, larvae that are uncapped, that's also going to be down there with her. Then you're going to have a queen excluder in place, and then you'll add your other deep on top of that. All of your capped brood is going to be in that upper box. Now, as we know, or you may not know, nurse bees, when they first emerge, when a honeybee first emerges from a cell, when its development is complete, it becomes a nurse bee. That's the first role that it has within the hive. So their 100% job is cleanup of cells, feeding young developing larvae, making sure that they are raising and developing the next generation of bees in conjunction with the resources that are coming in. So they're communicating with the foragers to figure out, okay, do we have nectar? Do we have pollen? We got everything we need. Great. Let's continue ramping up production. Oh, wait, we don't have enough resources coming in. Let's slow things down. They are really kind of in charge of things. Yes, the queen lays the eggs and she puts the pheromone out there that keeps everybody in check, but the nurse bees are kind of running the show. So in addition to all the feeding and the regulating, another role the nurse bees have is to make sure that brood is staying warm. So whenever you move that brood up, left, right, whatever you do, nurse bees are going to follow that brood. So you move all this capped brood up. Nurse bees are going to move up there with it. But there's also open brood down below. So they need to stay down there as well to care for the open brood. What you're doing now is you're forcing all these resources that were kind of packed in and crammed into that lower box. You're making them spread out. So that by itself is huge. That gives them that feeling that they can kind of move a little bit, they can spread their wings a little bit, and that really puts the colony in a better place for just space utilization. And then, of course, on top of that, if you want, you can go ahead and throw a honey super on top of that, because now you've got that queen excluder in the middle. Everything above that is never going to have brood. You know, they're not going to be any eggs laid into that space because of the queen excluder. Once you've divided everything up like this, and I'll do a quick recap again just to make sure. You have bottom deep, top deep, queen excluder in the middle, queen down below with open brood and available drawn comb. And then above that, in the deep above, all of your capped brood and all the associated nurse bees, they'll either move up or they're already going to be on those frames or a combination of the two, really. And then inner cover, outer cover, or honey super, inner cover, outer cover. And you're done. That's all there is to it. You put everything back together. Come back, check in, you know, 7 to 10 days, like on a normal inspection schedule. Look for swarm cells. If they kind of were already going down the path, they could still go ahead and draw up a swarm cell. There's nothing that would prevent them from doing so. But ideally, if you've done this at the right time, if you do it too early, this is, I guess, another thing we should talk about. If you do this a little bit too early, you kind of spread them too thin and you're putting resources all over the place. You get some of those cooler spring nights. It makes it more difficult for them to keep that brood warm. And that's really, really important. So don't do this too early when you're still having a lot of cold nights. But once you break out of the cool nights cycle, and you can kind of, again, this goes back to keeping good notes. If you're keeping track of this year over year or year after year, you'll be able to know, okay, by the time we hit April 15th in our area, it doesn't get cold again, as an example. Now, of course, if you do it too late, then you end up with them swarming anyway, and that certainly doesn't help. But you do want to keep an eye on things. Once you get through that first 2 weeks, you should be okay. Now, the only real variations to this is, you know, of course, adding a second or a third honey super. And again, on a spring flow with a colony that's really starting to blow up, there's nothing wrong with putting two honey supers on at one time. If you already had two deeps in place and you did the Demary split, and then you're like, okay, cool, here's my honey super, might as well throw another one on there. If it's a good flow and you have a lot of emerging brood that's about to just make that colony basically double in size within the next couple weeks, putting on another honey super is not going to hurt anything. Now, what some people will do, this is one that I don't encourage under any circumstances. It's just not necessary. But a lot of people will say, oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and add a top entrance. We're going to go ahead and put another entrance up top. It'll make things easier on them. It kind of doesn't. It doesn't make a big deal because the priority in feeding is always going to go to brood. And if they're developing brood in the brood chamber down below where the queen excluder is, you might as well just have the bees coming in at the bottom where things can be regulated and they can say, yes, we need that here. No, go store that. Putting the second entrance to me is not something that is done in nature. If there is a colony in a tree and there's more than one entrance, they propolize it shut. They're going to close it. They want one entrance. They want it down near the bottom of the tree. And that's just how they do things. So the second entrance is not necessary. It's just one more thing to defend. And, you know, like I mentioned, most likely they're probably just going to go ahead and close it up anyway, if they can. So I don't think I would be looking at or considering a second entrance. It's just not necessary. Now let's go into a couple of pros and cons here. The pros: you don't have to make a new colony. Now this is a very common thing that a lot of beekeepers face. Some people either have made a decision like, I want one beehive or I only want two beehives. They don't want to have a doubling of their bees every year. It is expensive, as many of you are discovering, buying all this hardware, all the Varroa treatments, all the management, monitoring, maintenance. All these things cost a lot of money. So creating new colonies and more mouths to feed, so to speak, it can be a little taxing on your bank account. So by being able to keep everything in one footprint, you're not adding additional bees. There also could be a legal component to this. You may be in a place that says you're only allowed to have one or two. You physically can't add additional colonies. So this is a great way to make sure you're being compliant with those rules and those ordinances, regulations, whatever might be in place. Now, here is one that is a huge pro. One big challenge we face every year is those bees want to swarm. And once they do, that has a significant impact on your honey production. If you take half your hive and just get rid of it, throw it out of your hive, think about all of those bees that are now never going to forage, never going to bring back nectar, never going to bring back the resources that ultimately will become the honey that you and they both consume. But if you can keep them all together, it is a world of difference. And you'll see this when you actually get to this point and you're able to keep them in place and they don't swarm and you're able to prevent them through all of the methods you may employ or deploy, you'll say, wow, I got two or three times as much honey as I got last year. This is so much better. So that is one reason why this could be a really good fit.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Now, there are some cons with it as well. As everything, it has positives, that this is going to have some negatives as well. As a new beekeeper, you got a lot of stuff rattling around in your brain. And locating the queen is already challenging enough. You've been in the hive maybe, let's say it's your first year, and you had some drawn comb that you either bought some of the pre-drawn comb, or maybe you had some that, you know, a colleague or someone at the bee club gave you. So you've got everything they need for this type of a configuration and setup. But you're still not even good at finding your queen. Like, this is kind of a prerequisite. If you cannot find your queen, you cannot do the Damari method. Now, outside of that, you have some things and some parts and pieces and components and things you got to kind of shuffle around. Again, for a new beekeeper, this could be really intimidating. You're just getting used to going in and doing an inspection, keeping your smoker lit, all of the basics. And now you're expected to kind of manipulate all these frames and move a lot of things around in this way. It could be a lot. It could be a lot to take on, particularly as a brand new first year, even a second year beekeeper. And of course, the other con is that if you start too late, they may still go ahead and swarm anyway. If you've already got swarm cells present, you know, this is probably not going to give you a whole lot of benefit. You're going to need to address that first. So just a quick recap on who it might be good for and who not good for. Definitely good for people who are maybe in an urban beekeeping scenario, people who can't have more than a certain number of hives. Definitely a great fit. People who are really focused on big honey production, they're not looking to expand, they just want a nice little honey snack, probably a good fit. First, maybe even second year beekeepers, a lot of moving parts. I don't think I'm going to recommend that. Now, if you are confident in that, you've done a lot of training ahead of time, you know, in preparation for your first year, you've worked with a mentor, you've done a lot of inspections on other hives, just not your own. Okay, a little bit of leeway there, right? Now, like I mentioned before, I don't do this, but I did add this in as those of you who are playing along and tracking at home, I have an experiments area of notes just loaded up with all kinds of experiments and different things I want to try. I have added this to that list as well. So maybe we'll add that to next spring's to-do list. Like I said, I do believe, you heard me, I was being critical of it in the past for those of you who we've chatted about it in the Discord room or other places. I was critical of it not because of whether or not it is effective as a swarm prevention method. That's not why I was critical of it. Words are important. And when you say that something is a split and you're not splitting, it just drives me nuts. I can't stand it. So every time someone says the Damari split, I'm like, oh boy, I kind of cringe and I get a little weird. I'm just goofy like that. Just kind of how I am. So anyway, so before we wrap up, I just wanted to go down not really a rant, but just kind of the way that I see a lot of things like this. You know, as a beginning beekeeper, everything is usually a combination of either, well, this is what this book said, or this is what someone on YouTube said, or this silly guy on, you know, has a podcast, or somebody in the bee club. There's all these different resources that you're pulling information from. That kind of becomes a bit of a double-edged sword too, because you go to one person, they're like, well, this is what I always do. And you're like, oh, that sounds like that makes sense. And then you listen to a podcast. Well, the guy on the podcast says this. Well, the guy on YouTube says this. And I wouldn't even say that it's a situation where everybody, you know, three of the people are wrong and one person's right. I think it's one of those where they're doing kind of what works for them where they are. I don't think anybody logs in and says, I'm going to make a video today. I'm going to mislead a bunch of people. They're talking about the things that work well for them where they are. That's where it is incumbent upon people like me who are educating and helping people to learn the trade and the craft and the hobby to understand that things are different in a lot of different places. So we can't speak in general terms, or I should say we have to speak in general terms to say this is kind of broadly, roughly how things are. Your mileage may vary depending on where you are. Now, it might not be important to you, which is completely fine. You know, some people like to be told, go do this now. And they are perfectly content with that. I think it's critically important that you're able to enjoy beekeeping in the way that's best for you. So if you're that kind of person who just needs to be told, like, this is what I got to do, and I'm just going to go do it. I don't care about learning the finite aspects of it or whatever. I just want to do the thing so I can sit back and enjoy the bees. That's fine. Some people are better at leading. Others are better at following. Some people are very crafty and creative. Others are not. If you want this to just be a simple, basic hobby that you can put a little time into, but spend most of your time just enjoying the bees, well, they may have other plans for you. They're gonna throw some wrenches into things, and they're going to disrupt things a little bit for you. Things probably aren't always going to go as planned, but there's still nothing wrong with that. If you just want to keep it simple and basic, that is okay. My desire for you is that you truly learn about and explore beekeeping. Don't just do something because some joker with a podcast says you should do it. If you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, ask questions. Try to understand the science behind it. I think even if you're not big into biology or agriculture or science in general, that's okay. Just learning a few basic things about bees, their biology, their behavior. All of those things are going to give you a tremendous advantage as you go through your beekeeping journey. I really want you to be able to apply, you know, your own reasoning and develop your own methods of doing things. You know, as humans, our brains are hardwired for problem solving and innovation. Try new things. You know, challenge the way things have always been done. If your name is Art Vandelay and you can come up with a new method of splitting or not splitting, then we'll name it the Vandelay method, right? We'll make it happen. But don't be afraid to swim against the stream or challenge things. And that really goes for all of life. Life is way too short to be just following what everybody else always tells you to do. Sometimes you gotta shake it up a little bit and try things a little bit differently. Okay, one last quick breakdown. Remember, we have bottom board, the deep, all your frames that are open with your queen, queen excluder, another hive body on top of that, all the capped brood, all the nurse bees, all the stuff that's going to be with that, honey supers, inner cover, outer cover, and you're done. So if you've tried this before, jump into our Discord room, let us know how it worked for you. Feel free to drop me an email, let me know how your experience was with it. Now, one thing I've done is I've created a site called bestbeekeepinggear.com. Now, the idea behind this is ultimately to be providing some reviews on things I'm using and trying out and things like that. That's all well and good. But what I'm really trying to do is capture a lot of discussions that we've had in the Discord room, a lot of discussions that I've had with people one-on-one via email. And I always enjoy chatting with people, hearing their stories and learning more about them and their journey and where they are in life and things going on with their families. I get to hear a lot of cool, fun things from a lot of great people, and it's a lot of fun. But there are times where I will literally type the same thing, you know, 3 or 4 paragraphs worth of information, 20, 30, 40 times. And I think it might make more sense to say, hey, wow, that's a really cool situation that you guys are in. That's really neat. Thanks for sharing. Hey, here's a link right here. And you can go read all about that. So I've created this with a kind of a blog type section where there are, I think there's only about, I don't know, 10 or 12 articles in there right now. But I'm trying to put things out pretty much on a weekly basis so that a lot of these commonly asked questions, we can just make a pointer and say, go there. So over time, I'll continue to develop things and there'll be more information there about gear reviews and how-tos and lots of other things. But like most recently, I did a little Varroa series about how serious the mite is, the diseases it can cover. We had a separate, you know, 3 separate posts on the dribble method, the oxalic acid pads, as well as using a vaporizer. So a lot of information in there on that. We're going to come through over the next couple of weeks. We'll get information in there on Formic Pro and Thymol and Apivar and Hopguard and whatever other things we can think of. I'll try to get as much information on there as I can with regard to those treatments. If there is something that you'd like to see or you need more information about, let us know. Jump in the Discord room, shoot me an email, whatever works for you. If you check out the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage, we have a link to the Discord room in there. We've got nuke plans, swarm trap plans. There's a couple of great PDFs in there about American fowl brood. So lots of information in there that you can check out. And like I said, you can always drop me an email. It's just jeff@beekeepingfornewbies.com. So I am not sure what I've got teed up here. I've got several notes on things we might do coming up here for the Thursday, Friday type episode. I'm not sure what we're going to do. Maybe we'll do an episode on requeening, talking about that. I don't know. We'll find something good for later on in the week. But that's all I've got for you today. So have a great week. Stay out of trouble. Take care. And remember that I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar Sampler Pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.